Welcome to the Mira Wine Podcast, Vin Compétent, with Josh, Bryce, and Leah.
What?
The podcast where we drink, talk, and discuss natural wine.
Did you just smell it?
And whatever else comes to mind. Hope you're ready for this, because I know we weren't.
I'm going to sell you the whole seat, but you're only going to need the edge.
And in 3, 2, 1, we're here.
We're here. We are here.
We're back. We're live.
You know what, guys? It's been a really long time, I feel like, since we've podcasted. I was really excited about today.
Have I been on the podcast since I left for Montreal?
Yeah,
yes.
Twice.
Twice? Okay. Once.
Twice. John Ryan was on.
Oh, yeah. And then Sarah? Was that before or after that?
Oh, okay.
No, it was John Ryan, and then it was Wit.
Ah, yes.
That's right.
Wit.
Have we published that one yet?
No.
That's right. Okay, sweet.
Tomorrow.
I forgot about that.
The day.
Remember that beer? That cider was pretty good, but that beer he brought was fucking amazing.
That beer was really good.
Yeah,
it was really good.
What was it called again? I don't remember what it was called.
Orange something.
Hey, didn't we do a podcast recently where we talked about D.B. Schmidt?
No. Did we? Yes, maybe.
Yeah, I'm sure we did, and I went looking for it.
Was it the one that was me and you?
I don't know. Maybe.
Did you just smell it? That one.
Was it that one?
I want to go take a look because I'm sure. So we're drinking. I'm a little like, you know.
Welcome to
Leah Ruins the Podcast.
Leah hasn't podcasted in so long, she forgot how this works.
I just want to talk.
I would drink it six.
I drink it six times. Thank you, everybody. welcome to Mira Wine Presents Vin Compétent with Josh, Bryce, and Leah, fresh off of her marathon run.
Oh.
Guys, it wasn't a marathon. It was a 10K.
Did you train for it?
No.
Did you eat before it?
No.
But isn't that
a marathon?
Isn't that like a half a marathon?
A half marathon is 21.1 kilometers.
Okay, so
full is 42.2.
Quarter marathon?
So I ran a quarter marathon.
Oh, see?
Yeah.
Stop selling yourself short.
A second to realize that a full marathon is 42 kilometers.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that.
Like,
and that
what's
people
wrong with
get
people?
Excited. Did you know that?
Get that runner's high. I'll just get high.
The one of the leads that finished the marathon this weekend finished 42 kilometers in just over 2.5 hours. Do you know how fast that per kilometer pace is? 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah, that's pretty fast.
Per kilometer?
Imagine running a kilometer in 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
For two and a half hours straight.
Like keeping up that pace.
I could do one.
I don't know.
I could do 1 kilometer that fast.
At that pace.
And then I would die.
Yeah.
I think I could train for like probably a month and I would be able to do 1 kilometer that fast.
Yeah.
But like,
no.
There's no way.
It's crazy.
I don't even think I could run a kilometer
these
right
people,
now.
These
you don't
like
think
are,
you could run a kilometer?
So. I don't think so.
It's 1,000
meters.
Oh,
you know
meters.
What it is? I'm on the yellow stool.
Oh, is that why you
I'm
feel?
I'm all fucked up. You see me, I'm like moving around.
Yeah, yeah. You don't
it's like too
it.
High and yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Okay.
Welcome. that was great opening.
That was all over the place.
Yeah. What's next? I can't remember.
You can't remember?
Hang on.
No, we gotta do a shot of Jameson.
Nope. Thank you to our sponsors.
Yeah.
Water Construction. For all your wooden doghouse.
For all your wooden needs.
Wood needs.
All your wood
needs. They're actually a general contractor.
Correct.
Yeah.
Have you ever looked at the stuff they do?
Yes.
It's
we talked about this
believable.
Last time.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what? I think it's about time that we get our sponsors on the podcast.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Alex and...
Yeah, let's invite Alex and Beth.
Okay, cool.
And they can actually tell us really what they do.
Alex is kind of a quiet guy, though.
Once they listen to this, they can come on.
Yeah.
So when they listen to this episode...
If they hear it.
And they hear it, they can come on.
And we can find out what they do for real.
Okay, so...
I bet you it's like a drug cartel or something.
Yeah.
I bet you they...
The club seals up north to control the population with wooden bats made by Warner Construction.
That would be the worst job. I'm just kidding.
That's a real job.
No way.
That's a real job.
Club seal control.
Yeah. And I'm like, can I get a gun?
No,
I don't want to get up front and close.
No.
Fuck that.
It's like Game of Thrones, right? If you're gonna execute someone, you gotta do it yourself.
Yeah, but you can shoot them. With
no.
How are we here?
What? Welcome to
episode one of the podcast. It's been a long time.
Let's go back to, though, Alex and Beth, if you are listening.
They're
and
nice
you hear
people.
This,
they don't club seals.
Thank you. Call us. You can come on the podcast. Mm-hmm. We'd love that.
Hey, let's talk about that 9/11 documentary.
Oh, do you want to talk about that?
No.
Because it was like the worst, like, 3 hours of my life in the beginning. I was like so sad. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe what the hell was happening.
Crazy stuff. Let's do a shot of Jameson first.
Yeah, let's do a shot of Jameson.
Okay. Thank you, Warner Construction.
Hey, don't we have intro music for this segment?
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah.
Come on, guys. Like, we take a week off and we're a mess.
Welcome to the Jameson Biodynamic Calendar Challenge.
Ooh, you were getting sexy there, Bryce.
Hey, guys. Call 1-800-LOVELINE.
Loveline?
I don't know.
Where did you grow up?
Did I ever tell
K-Rock,
you?
K-Rock, man.
No, that's what I'm talking about.
No, I was talking K-Rock Loveline.
Did I ever tell you guys about the time I walked a half marathon? So last
you walked out? Was that yesterday?
No. But I've walked a half marathon 3 times. Last year, it was virtual. And so the company I work for, we're the title sponsor, and shout out to all my pals at GMS.
You want to mention where you
were? Yeah, I was going to say, we just talked about clubbing seals.
GMS has absolutely no relation
to no
this
insurance.
Podcast.
The seals have no insurance.
This is 100% Leah Reed. But Bal, my colleague, and I walked a 21-kilometer, and because it was virtual, GMS put together a cheer line, and we tried to call into the cheer line just by memory, so we dialed like 1-800 cheer line or something like that, and we got some sort of like phone sex line.
who is using a phone sex line in 2021?
I don't know.
But it was,
my father,
yeah,
who doesn't realize. I'm so excited, like I'm so glad my dad doesn't know that porn exists on the internet. Because he'd never leave the house. There's no way. Like, he for sure has no idea how readily accessible pornography is on the internet. There's no way.
Right.
There's no way.
You think he still buys magazines?
I don't even think he buys magazines. Like, he's like that old school.
I think
he might call in.
He just uses his memory.
Maybe he still watches Blenry. Who knows?
Okay,
he's not paying for it.
He's not paying for it. Sneaks
Cheers.
Into the... Anyways.
Ooh, okay.
Ooh. It's really good today.
That's nice.
Okay, I know.
Did you just smell it?
Okay, what do you think?
No, I don't. Leaf.
I'm gonna go leaf as well.
I'm gonna go flower.
Yeah, that was my. That's what I was debating between.
Close second for flower. Yeah. But I'm gonna stick with leaf.
I bet you it's a fruit day.
Yeah.
Leaf day.
Woo!
Yes.
I didn't do it. I don't care.
Yeah, I'm like leaf.
Really, it's a leaf day.
Yeah.
Oh, nailed it. Mm-hmm. I love that.
I think it's better than it's ever been.
You think so? Jameson drinks best on a leaf day.
I don't know. This one.
I think it drinks best on a root day. A root day.
Yeah.
You guys thought it was a root day last time, though, and it was a fruit day.
It was caramelly.
Mm. I don't know.
Okay.
Are we going to talk about this wine?
Let's talk about the wine real quick, because Leah knows about the wine, and she really wants to talk.
I can't. I'm freaking out about this stool.
Oh, really? Okay, sure.
I'm all fucked up.
Yeah.
Do you want me to open it while you talk about it?
Yeah, I'd love that. Okay, so this is actually an exciting producer, but when we kicked off the podcast, I jumped into things way too soon. I swear that we've talked about D.B. Schmidt before on a podcast. Mm. Either that or I dreamt about it, but all of the research that I did, I knew already. So I'm sure, and I think we were drinking their Riesling.
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll go back and we'll take a look.
I think we were going to.
Maybe. Okay, so this is a producer out of the Rhine-Hessen region in Germany. This region is historically known for or associated with like bulk wine production. We talked a little bit about this.
Is that you pronounce it Rhine-Hessen or Rhine-Heisen?
Rhine-Hessen,
I think. Rhine-Hessen. I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah.
Rhine-Hessen.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's
Rhine-Hessen. Just do it with authority and anger.
Yeah.
Exactly. Can't be nice when you're saying German words.
But it's also one of the regions in Germany that produces the most amount of wine. And so that's why they're sort of known for bulk. But we are drinking D.B. Schmidt Spätburgunder 2019. This is a winery that's been around for 230 years. So they have quite a bit of history in this region. It is a long time. But most recently, Bianca and Daniel. So Daniel is the son of the prior
DB Schmitz.
Yeah, the DB Schmitz. And so they took over, and they've been working this land for about 16 or for just over a decade.
Because Bianca's from Hungary.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And she was like a cellar hand. Mm-hmm. So I bet you there's like some controversy. Not controversy, but like she shows up, she's a cellar hand.
Oh shit.
And she meets the winemaker's son.
This is a very attractive woman.
This is Leah's like movie that she wants to watch.
I'm turning it into a romance novel.
Cider House rules, but oh my goodness.
What do you call those novels that everybody is like romance novel?
A romance novel.
Harlequin
romance. Yeah, I'm turning it into a Harlequin romance.
That's my mother's
porno. Yeah.
No joke. My mom reads that shit like it's nothing.
But for the last decade, they've been doing 100% full biodynamic farming. They are very, very focused on that. They're about one of 80 producers in Germany that actually have the Demeter certification.
In all of Germany.
In all of Germany.
And there's a lot of producers.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if we can get her, because I imagine the DB Schmidt stands for Daniel and Bianca.
Yes.
Daniel and Bianca.
So I wonder what it was called before. Was it called like Weingut Schmidt? Because it was. UK, yeah. Because they're not like... This is table wine. Mm-hmm. They're not allowed to write Reinheisen on the label because they don't follow.
Yep.
They don't fall into any kind of box, especially in that region. So I wonder if we can get our hands on some Weingut Schmidt wine.
Maybe.
That'd be interesting to try them side by side.
Yeah. See what's going on.
It was Weingut Schmidt too, because we had trouble bringing it in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because of the name.
Because the label and the company didn't match up.
The monopoly. It's like when you move your cat's bowl 2 feet to the left, and it's like, where's my bowl? Like. They can't
figure it out.
That's we got to think today about Louis Antoine Louis. They're like, this winery doesn't exist. I'm like, well, we've ordered from them twice, so they clearly do.
Oh yeah, on your system, guys.
Come on. Your system. But really what's cool about them is they are really trying to bring like natural winemaking in Germany forward. So this is like, they call them I haven't heard this term, lo-fi wines?
Yeah, I've heard of that term.
I just read it for the first time today.
I have no idea. I'm assuming like it's low intervention, like intervention. Yeah. I just think it's like hands-off.
It's a trendy term.
Is it like opposite of like hi-fi?
Yeah, it's like the music. Yeah. It's like a music term, essentially.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So basically it's all natural spontaneous fermentation. There's zero additives. They let the wine, they actually describe it as, I'm going to quote them here, it is our duty and honor to give them their grapes however much time on the lees they need to discover their own optimal development. So whatever that means, they must be tasting the wine, but it's lees contact, it's skin contact. They're really, really trying to bring out all of the flavor when it comes to making sure that maceration happens.
This is a weird Pinot Noir, I'm just going to say that.
I love it.
It's super cool.
It's a fucking banging wine.
Yeah,
it's super
fucking
good.
Lots of personality, I would say.
They leave it to macerate for 6 weeks.
Okay.
And then they age it in really, really old oak, like 2,400.
So
yeah, 2,400 liter old oak barrels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
what kind of oak? Sorry.
American oak? French oak?
French oak for sure.
German oak?
French.
So it being old oak, it definitely wouldn't impart a lot of flavor onto the
vine. It's still going to give it some structure though, right?
And I think I described it as their Spat Burgunder, but we all know that Spat Burgunder is just another term. So it's the German term for Pinot Noir.
It's the most common synonym for Pinot Noir.
Pinot Noir, yep.
Spat Burgunder.
They should go by Spat Burgunder more often. Pinot Noir sucks compared to that name.
Spat Burgunder?
Spat Burgunder. Just got to say it like that too.
Spat
Burgunder.
I'll tell you what, I was watching a video today I was trying to find like some YouTube videos on them, and there was like... this video on German wine. I'm like, I was doing some work, so I was like, I'll just listen to this in the background. I forgot how funny it is to listen to someone German, like really German, talk English. Like, it's so funny. It's
hello.
Like, yeah, and then we go there. Like, it's so over the top. Like you can't exaggerate it because it's already so exaggerated.
Right, yeah.
It's like, yeah, and then we did this, and then it was great, yeah.
It was
like,
great, yeah.
You know the guy from, what's that?
Super Troopers?
No. What's that movie with the girls singing with the Bellas,
Pitch Perfect
Part 3 when they're like against the German people.
I didn't even know there was a third.
It's that guy's
one.
Name Floor. I can't remember his name. He's hilarious.
Das Sound Machine.
Yeah, but the guy who plays the main character, he does interviews.
Yeah.
On like Conan O'Brien stuff that I watch. He's hilarious, and it's like you think he's exaggerating. I'm like, no, that's how he talks.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's dope.
I love it. That's a, like, I don't know if you guys have anything more to say about this wine. I love this wine. So we've tasted a couple of the wines from D.B. Schmidt. This is probably my favorite so far.
100%. Mm-hmm. I think this is miles ahead of the other ones, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I think that this is falls into that category that you always kind of promote, Leah, which I really respect, is like, this smells like a German Pinot. That's natural.
Yeah.
Not a natural wine that's German.
Yeah.
Like, right.
First and foremost, you're like, that's German Pinot.
Yeah.
It's cold weather.
Exactly.
It's got that like kind of cherry note to it, but then like it's got some very much like natural wine notes imparted into it too, like where it's like
and like the classic German acidity too. Like
yeah.
The acidity on this is sharp and piercing, but not mm-hmm. in an offensive way, but it's yeah. sharp.
And like that VA is like nice though.
Mm-hmm.
Like if, you know when you get like a pair of headphones that you have to like you have to open them with scissors like a new pair of headphones. That plastic packaging.
Oh, you like that?
It kind of smells like that a little bit.
I like
the way that smells right now.
Like a little too much petroleum jelly.
A little bit too much. Like it was on fire.
Right.
For a bit. We put it out.
Yeah.
I don't smell any of that.
The VA?
Yeah, I'm not getting a whole lot of that. I get quite a bit of fruit on the nose actually.
Mm-hmm. Like dark fruit, a little cherry. You don't get any of that volatile acidity, any of that kind of like.
Maybe it's just not what I think of when I think of volatile acidity.
What I think is interesting, like I get a little tiny bit of it, but for me VA is more like the chemical smell, mm-hmm. not the like petrol
like,
smell.
But like slight chemical petrol, and like
on the very very.
Are you getting
back
like the smallest amount of effervescence?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely yeah. effervescence, for sure.
Almost like, it almost feels like a little like minty or like something like that because
eucalyptus-y.
I can almost still feel it well after.
Yeah.
Mm, like the bubbles?
Well, yeah. It's like, you know, that like cool sensation that you get in your mouth after Halls or something dumb like that. I still have that.
This wine has texture, and maybe that's
yes.
what I'm starting to fall in love with.
Texture.
With like, and so you talk about like unfiltered wines or skin. We've been drinking a lot of skin contact
yep.
from a white perspective, and it gives it so much body and so much richness. We forget that all reds are like that. But when you have a red that's also unfiltered, so it's going to have the skin contact, but it's unfiltered.
Mm-hmm.
The texture. This is like velvet in my mouth.
Yeah. Mm.
Like think of like velour. If mm-hmm. you remember those like those old
crushed velour suits.
Crushed, yes.
Austin Powers.
Yes.
1970s.
That's what this wine
old
feels like
leather,
in
old
my mouth.
Old nightclub bunkhouse seating.
Studio 54.
Yes. I'm talking about the dome in Montreal.
Mm.
Mm. Mm. Where you're like, why
never
did I sit
there.
On that? And the lights come on, the cops read it, and you're like, there's a lot of stains on these, so you can't tell.
Exactly. And that's why the lights are off.
Same color as your shirt, actually.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about when I hear that velvet. Mm.
Velvet.
Oh, see, and I think about the same color of this wine in mm. velvet.
Mm-hmm. Like a little fuzzy.
I love the, yeah, like the texture. You kind of nailed it. For me, like, the way this wine makes my mouth, I always, like, kind of say things like, natural wine, like, when it's good, like, it makes my mouth sing, like, it makes my mouth vibrate and hum. So, like the Marcella Pierre Morgon does that. Like, this wine does that to my
yeah.
mouth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Latrozzo, that does it to my mouth.
Yeah.
This wine, like, makes my mouth happy. It's like a sensory thing for me.
Yeah.
And I'm,
yeah.
like, pretty sensory. So it's like something's, like, humming in my mouth.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I really, really like this wine.
Yeah, this is a great wine.
I love it.
It hits really good on all the notes. I like it.
Cool.
Can we also talk about the sexiness of German wine bottles?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Look how sexy that
why,
is.
Why are German wine bottles like that?
I think they want to fuck up your cellar.
Do you remember how we fucked up the bird?
World War II was a distraction. It was all about the bottles.
Exactly.
that's not a bad point, though, in terms of, like, the bottle shape and size is so different that how do you store it? But you could argue the same thing, like, on for Burgundy bottles. Like, some of the bigger
mm-hmm.
Burgundy
yeah.
bottles are
well, look,
impossible.
Like, I would say 80% of the wine we have at Homestead is in a Burgundy bottle.
Mm-hmm.
It's much harder to stack.
It's shit to stack,
yeah.
actually.
Much harder to stack, yeah.
yeah.
It's even shit to box for the most part. Like, it doesn't come
no.
well... Case
packaged.
No.
Packaged. That's
yeah.
what I was looking for.
Yeah.
I wonder why. It must be something to do with like aging the wine.
I do want to go back to your comment though about like the packaging for German wines,
mm.
and I don't mean like packaging in terms of label, but the bottles are sleek.
Oh.
So sleek.
It's very like, it's very German, right? Mm-hmm. It's like very engineered. It's very thoughtful. Mm-hmm. Like that Magnum of Sabak Oster we drank.
Yeah.
It's like 4 feet tall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why does it need to be 4 feet tall? It doesn't.
We're talking about it.
Exactly.
We're talking about it. You know what I find interesting about Germany? Mm. So Germany, not known for comedy, let's say.
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay. Very, like, you know, the German wines are very rule-driven. There's not really anything outside the box. I always say, like, you know, French and Italian wines are kind of like if you're cooking and you're loosely following a recipe, where Germany is baking, right? There's very strict rules. Mm-hmm. Nudity in Germany? No problem. No problem.
Yeah.
Blows my mind.
Why does that blow your mind?
You figure you go there and you, like, got to wear a suit to the beach.
You got a nudity problem?
But no, I'm open for it. But, like, how does Germany have a more loose nudity policy than, like let's say, France or Spain?
Mm. Does France have a problem against nudity?
No, but, like, Germany's more loose than France. You can just go to, like, a public beach, dick out, no problem. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, it's fine.
I wonder if it's really focused
on
science.
Not my thing.
Maybe. It's probably not a romantic thing.
No.
No.
Like, it's like human body is built like that.
It's very scientific.
Yeah.
they're part of the shortest list in the world.
The shortest list in the world?
Yeah, ironic Germans over the 19th century or the 20th century.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a very short list.
I do want to go back to your comment, though, going back to winemaking practices, which is interesting about this producer in particular, or this
good
label.
Good segue.
D.B. Schmidt. And we talk about German wines and the classification. It's yes or no, right or wrong. And it's not overly complicated. It's very simple, easy to understand. Once you get in, there are rules, black and white, versus in France, to your point, oh, if it's this region, it's this, and if it's this region, it's this, and if it's this producer, you know, remember this sort of thing. They're not following any, so they're not designated. If we look at some of the like DOs or the classification system, they're not designated in any of the wines that they make, even if we think about their Rieslings that they're all making. And that goes back to your point about this is being a sub-brand of the bigger house of the Schmidt Vineyard.
Well, I think like Germany probably is going to be the last to fall, for lack of a better term, in terms of like giving them back some kind of designation.
I don't think, though, that's what natural winemakers are looking for.
No, I agree with you. But like in Germany, like in France, there's like a lot more natural winemakers that are like still have their AOC. Maybe they lost it. Like they're expanding their horizons. Where I like this is for Germany. This is fucking crazy. This is like so out there. I think it's fantastic. But I think Germany will be like the last to kind of accept. The fact that natural wine is not going anywhere.
I think, this is my personal opinion, that the German classification system needs to be kept for Riesling, because German Riesling is something that should, it's like Burgundy. It should be sought after. It should be taken care of. It should be protected. Whereas anything outside of that, have fun. Because I've had a number of
Pinots. There's no fun in Germany.
I've had so many Pinots recently from Germany that have been some of the best wines I've had in years.
I fucking love German and Alsatian Pinots.
Yeah.
I fucking love them.
And we don't bring in enough of them.
Enough. We need more.
This is a great example of that. So what do you think? Like, do you think, how do you, if you're the German government, the German wine body.
Okay, yeah.
How do you... feel that. How do you...
You got that?
I feel like that. I'm getting into character.
Okay. Let's hear it. Ask
Bryce
your question.
Bryce got more serious.
Yeah.
This furrowed brow.
Please tell me. What are you thinking?
Like, how do you... because I agree with you, Leah, and like the German classification system goes by vineyard, correct? Like, is that how it goes for like Mosel?
No, it goes by sweetness level.
Yeah.
No, okay, but I'm talking about like in terms of quality.
No.
Like you have, well, I know you have like the spot.
That quality is sweetness level.
But it's very important on like high quality Rieslings to put the name of the vineyard on it. Right?
No.
Like Weingarten. No?
Josh, did you take WSET level 2?
I did.
No, I used to do a lot of drugs.
I was just reading about this.
No,
that's the old way to do it.
Oh, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It might be something you have to include. You don't have to include it at all?
No, you do have to include it. You have to include the vineyard site. Okay, but in terms of, but yeah, for
but
sure.
But that doesn't mean quality.
Right.
Yeah. So there's different levels in the classification. So you can have like a high quality Spätlese.
Right.
Prädikat,
yeah.
Yeah. But if you have a high quality Spätlese and a high quality Auslese,
right.
The Auslese will be higher quality than the Spätlese.
Because the low quality Auslese will be higher quality than the high quality Spätlese.
Correct.
Because they're lazy.
No.
Dad jokes, thanks. I'm here all night.
Whoa. Okay, so forget I said anything.
Oh, okay.
So going back to my question, how do you then incorporate, for instance, this Pinot Noir, which I think we all agree is fucking phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
How do you let them back in? Because right? it's not even close.
That goes back to the conversations we've had before about designations.
Mm-hmm.
And do they actually matter?
They don't mean shit. Other than from a consumer level.
Why care? But not even from a consumer level, because some of them are so fucking complicated.
I agree.
That consumers don't understand. So unless you've studied WSET or like, you know, level 3-4.
Or even if you have.
It doesn't matter. It's not, you know.
I agree.
I
mean, in Germany, it's pretty easy. You just go for the like longest name.
That's actually true.
Whatever has the most umlauts.
That's actually true. Not the most
How
umlauts.
How many letters can I get that designates the quality?
Yeah. Hey, that's a computer.
That's...
It's okay. It's your personal one.
Bill Gates would be so angry right now.
Okay, do we want to talk about our topic?
Oh, we have... Yes, we're only 26 minutes in.
Yeah.
Or wait, when are we going to do the new segment?
What's the new segment? Oh, yeah.
News, I have to get my phone.
We should... Okay, so here's the order. No. Here's what we should do. Jameson.
Mm-hmm.
Then...
news of the world.
Wine news.
Yeah.
Then the wine we're drinking.
Yes.
Then our topic.
I agree.
That's the order.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So we're out of order, but that's okay.
So we're
starting a new segment, everyone,
for our loyal listeners, Whit.
Hey, Whit.
And the one guy in Washington.
Hey, guy.
Does anybody ever comment? Has no one ever commented?
No one comments on podcasts.
Can you comment? Like, can you leave like a note?
I mean, you could somewhere.
And no one does?
I don't know what I should.
So I guess there's no...
Sorry.
Nobody has any...
So, Bryce, I'm going to give you some homework.
I need some new sting music.
So we have four segments. Do we have four segments? We have five.
We have the Jameson Challenge.
We have Jameson Challenge.
We have
wine news.
Wine news.
Wine news.
What wine are we drinking? Wine topic.
Is that a segment?
That's not really a segment. I don't think it's a segment.
Okay, so we don't need a segment for that.
No, I don't think we need
That's
a segment
fine.
For that. Yeah.
But then we also have our rating.
So we have a rating song, don't we?
Yeah, we have a rating song.
Oh, okay, so we only need one more.
We need one more. We need wine news. We should do, for the wine news one, can it be like a breaking news?
Yeah,
I can do that.
Yeah, okay. Cool.
Okay, breaking news.
In the wine world.
Let's go to France today, if I can find it. Oh, there we go.
We're not allowed to go to France.
You're right. Because the French wine suffers worst hit in decades amid damage and frost and disease.
Tell us more.
French winemakers are expected to produce nearly a third less wine this year than usual after the vineyards were struck by frost, poor weather, and disease during the spring and summer.
And this is just France?
This is just France.
Is it all of France or anything specific?
Almost all of France's wine-growing regions, including Bordeaux, Champagne, Languedoc-Roussillon, were affected by unseasonal spring frost, which damaged grapes growing on the vine that had developed during a burst of warmth weather. However, some areas were affected more than others. They're expecting roughly 2 billion euros in lost sales.
That's like a trillion Canadian dollars.
Yeah.
2 billion euros.
2 billion euros.
Yeah. Average 25% lower.
Fuck.
Production.
And what does that mean for us? That means a higher price and a lower quality.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but they say it should not have an impact on the supply to the wine market thanks to reserves from previous years.
Mm.
So we're going to get a bunch of back vintages?
No problem. I got no problem.
I believe so, yeah.
Interesting.
I'm going to contact some of our winemakers.
Hey,
hey guys, hey. We heard what's going on.
We heard about the frost. Can we take advantage?
This is
Germany. This is Germany calling. Hello. Hello, Domain Reichardt.
We call to invade your cellars.
That is all I can. No, stop.
It's not the only wine region, though, that has had troubles because wildfires affected the BC wine region.
That's what I was going to ask.
In Oregon and Washington.
What do you think the BC economic impact versus the French one? Like, what is the difference?
Ooh,
That's
a great question. Mm-hmm. I think dollar-wise, obviously not comparable, but percentage-wise in terms of impact, mm-hmm. huge. Huge.
Like, let's be honest. Like I hope this never happens, but, like, let's say all of Kelowna or the whole BC wine...
Burns down.
Right?
The Okanagan burns
Canada
down.
Canada is going, shit, that sucks. What are we doing tomorrow?
Yeah.
Let's rebuild it. If that happens in France, they're like fucking waving a white flag.
How many people lose their jobs? How many families lose their homes? Like,
mm-hmm. massive mm-hmm. impact.
Right.
It would be the equivalent of like all of the canola fields burning here, mm-hmm. and then all of the mm-hmm. potash mm-hmm. things blowing mm-hmm. up. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, what are we doing tomorrow? Like, not fucking nothing.
Yeah.
Nobody has a job.
Right.
We haven't really talked about this, but. It could be an interesting topic for the future if we do some research on it. Climate change has been a topic.
It's not real.
It's not a real thing. How could we do any research on it?
If you think about...
I'm joking.
I know.
Still gets hot in December.
It's a podcast.
Shut up, you guys. Let me... If you think about wine and the wine industry, mm-hmm. No different than any other farming industry, how much climate... like. What happens with the weather in that vintage impacts your livelihood. Mm-hmm. So what are we doing to, you can't prepare for that.
You can a little bit.
How?
I have a bit of insight into this in terms of Saskatchewan. Cause I spoke to our good friend, Tim Young.
Yes.
Who owns Young's Equipment.
Hey, should we invite Tim on the podcast?
Only if he sponsors.
Talk about.
And we want cash.
We want real money.
Does Tim even listen to our podcast?
No, I don't think so.
I'm going to ask him to.
So this year, because we had like a drought essentially, and it's been a bit of a drought for the last couple of years.
Yeah,
people's harvest was like going 2 to 3 weeks before normal. Same thing in BC, right? Like
mm-hmm.
they're harvesting now in BC.
Yeah, you have to.
They have been harvesting.
No, late August. We're in mid September.
Yeah. They've been harvesting since late August, right? Yeah. Like normally it's around now, so 2 weeks, 3 weeks in advance, because there's been. So little rain
and with much lower yields in Saskatchewan. Much lower yields.
So and then we had that crazy storm, right? So like for instance, one of Tim's clients or cousins, I think, you know, fucking 20 minutes, guy loses 50% of his crop because of hail.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yes.
Like not even overnight, fucking 20 minutes.
Right.
So what happens is they have insurance.
Yeah. Municipal hail insurance.
Yeah. And also, because the yield is so low, the prices go up higher.
Right.
So they're not like, and this is like a case, like a single case. So I'm not speaking for any of the rest of the farmers, but like the amount of money you take in doesn't differ that much for the actual farmer, which I think is the right thing. But for the people fucking buying it, it's going to be real expensive, right? Because the price has to go up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the balance. Mm-hmm. That they have for agriculture here. And that's one example.
Going back to wine, then the 2021 vintage in France is going to be crazy expensive.
Could be crazy expensive.
And you for sure have insurance for wineries in France, but also, like Bryce said, like back vintages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You hold on to them, right, for a rainy day. And so imagine the 2021 vintage is a total loss. Mm-hmm. You have zero income and your insurance covers X amount of dollars. Mm-hmm. What if you had a really low yield for the last 5 years? Mm-hmm. Now your insurance is covering a percentage of that as opposed to your normal high yield.
Yeah, I feel like wine field insurance must be like the most complicated thing in the world.
How do you any crop insurance?
Well, but wine insurance in particular, because like you get a bad vintage, but that bad vintage doesn't affect you for 5 years, 6 years, mm-hmm. right? Your crop insurance affects you now,
mm-hmm.
right? Because like you're still working on vintages
Yeah, you're releasing the 2019s.
Right. Depending.
You're making money for those.
Yeah.
So now you're, in 2023, you got to keep that money till then.
But doesn't it relate to yields? Not necessarily. Like, so sure.
I think insurance relates to yields. Yes.
That's generally what it does. But I would feel like wine insurance would be a little more complicated than that.
Would it though? Because they're not insuring the wine. They're insuring the crop. Mm-hmm. They're insuring the grapes.
Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's based on yield. And that's why, I mean, look at the price of Burgundy. We all know why it's skyrocketing for the most part, but also they've had fucking real tough last 5 years. Mm-hmm. Jura as well.
Yeah.
Look at the fucking price of Jura that we pay for Stefan Tiso's wine.
Yeah.
Like entry level wine, which is phenomenal, but it's crazy expensive.
Mm-hmm. It is really expensive compared to
5-6 years ago. Mm-hmm. Compared to what I imported into Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like it's like €3 more a bottle, which translates to like $15.
Yeah,
here.
I was just gonna say.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's.
Yeah.
And I mean, is the wine. Is it because they're greedy? No. Winemakers in general, the ones we work with are not greedy.
The winemakers we work with are not in it to make money. They're in it to make a living, yes, mm-hmm. but not. They're in it for the passion
mm-hmm.
and the quality.
Which what we have here, this wine is phenomenal.
This is a great wine.
It's really opened up rapidly as well, and I want to drink the whole bottle before our tasting group gets here.
Sure we can. We're super rich.
Have you seen my shoes?
Are they shiny? Because that's the only classification, apparently.
Apparently.
One point that I was going to
alpaca laces
talk about for the BC versus France discussion was that at least BC being a smaller market, they can pivot a little better than France can.
Mm-hmm.
They have a shitty vintage. I feel like it's not necessarily the right thing to do, but people will generally buy that vintage because it's shitty.
Because
it's like maybe interesting.
Maybe it's the mentality of like support small business.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that too.
And you also have the option, like, so let's use Lightning Rock, our good friends who we always mention the show. Let's say they have a fucking terrible year,
mm-hmm.
but they need to make some money. So like they're allowed to, they have a lot more leeway, a lot less rules,
mm-hmm.
right? So they can maybe even buy some grapes from a neighbor who didn't have a bad year and make mm-hmm. some wine labeled Lightning Rock and be like, oh, it's like, you know, Lightning Rock, wildfire vintage, whatever.
Right.
You can't do that in Burgundy.
Right.
You can't go buy Merlot from the next, like, if you don't have any Burgundy,
Lightning Rock
do it.
Presents Wildfire 2021.
Right. Exactly.
If I was them, I would just call it Apothic Fire. Lightning Rock Apothic Fire.
Just buy a bunch of grapes from Apothic.
Yeah. Put so much sugar in it. Like, make it real shit on purpose.
Just make it shit.
That's interesting, though, Bryce. Like, in terms of Bryce being able to pivot and or because the rules are less stringent, there's more flexibility for small producers in Canada.
I mean, I guess small producers all around. The more you think about it, right? Like, mm-hmm. natural wine producers do have a little bit more leeway.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, but the terroir of the Okanagan, in my opinion, is still not... like set. We don't know what it is yet.
Oh, no. I disagree with that. It's there.
But is that really the terroir, though? That's like the commercial terroir.
Like no. No, because I'm talking about the new producers that have mm-hmm. showed up in the 100%. Okanagan and are making wines. And the Okanagan is like a huge region, right? Mm-hmm. That's basically like saying Burgundy. But we know that Pommard tastes different.
100%.
And it's so...
I don't think it's been long enough, though, to have like... Like, what does Summerland taste like versus Similkameen versus...
But we know what grape varieties are best for those regions.
Correct. But, like, in terms of, like, an actual, like... like
if flavor you're profile,
flavor profile
yes.
for
but
Burgundy...
But grape variety, no. The Okanagan is developed enough to know which grape variety grows best in which sub-region of the Okanagan.
Nebbiolo.
Oh, Nebbiolo. Let's move to the Okanagan.
Oh, let's make some.
No, you guys, we're gonna make wine in Saskatchewan.
Oh yeah, yeah. Woo, climate change.
Can we make Barolo Okanagan?
We're only making sparkling wine here, I think.
In Saskatchewan?
Yeah.
No. Not if we keep killing the planet.
Let's do it. yeah.
No.
Okay,
like, Bryce, where are you taking us next?
I'm gonna take us to. Thanks, Gladys.
did it.
like, okay, let's make a deal right now. Let's say we become famous. Okay, Howie Mandel. We get famous for this somehow, or we actually start making money off this, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
We pay an old lady that plays the organ, and she does our intro music.
Oh shit, yeah, I do that.
100%.
She's behind us.
100%.
And then you go, thank you, Gladys.
Yeah, this would be like Jay Leno.
100%.
The Tonight Show.
Yeah.
She just sits there.
Yeah, three times a week.
And the whole time, you're like, I think Gladys is dead, finally.
Yeah.
And then she just fucking, Gladys, and she turns up her battery. I'm thinking like the lady, the keyboard, like the organ lady from Sister Act Part 1.
Yes, oh, yeah, I love her.
Yeah.
Love her.
Can we get her? Is she still alive?
I don't think she's alive anymore. That was the 80s, man.
Yeah.
That was a lot of cocaine.
So she might have been young.
She might have been. Heroin.
But our last segment that you just introduced.
It's a 7-day segment. Sponsored by. Oh, wait.
Fun Time Heat Sauce.
Ooh. Didn't we drop them?
Did we drop them?
I mean, Bryce, you haven't received any heat sauce.
I have yet to receive my heat sauce.
You're in charge,
and we're dropping them. The guy who likes hot sauce the most.
I know.
Didn't get it.
Well, he did. It's just that you gave it away to everybody but him. Wow. So should we really blame that?
Wow. You guys leave it in my restaurant. It's mine. I keep selling that wine back there, too.
Okay,
I'm gonna FaceTime Kenny right now while we do this segment.
Are you?
See what he has to say.
Yeah. Okay, so this is
we're gonna call him out fake live on air.
7 day a week. How often would you drink this wine? And we have a 7 day rating system.
We are using the Gregorian calendar method.
Gregorian
calendar. What
is that actually a thing? The Gregorian calendar.
Yeah, that's what we use.
That's what everybody uses.
So like in China, they're celebrating like the year like 4000, I think, and then Jewish calendar is different as well.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, the Gregorian calendar is from the Greek times.
So Gregorians.
Roman. So like the Ides of March.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I don't think he's answering. He heard it.
Caesar lost his life.
Live. He didn't hear us.
He's listening live.
Kenny heard it.
Okay, Kenny didn't answer. So
what time is it in Toronto? Okay, that's it. You're fired.
Yeah. Oh, Kenny! If you like heat sauce or hot sauce, as more colloquial term,
try Fun Time
Heat Sauce.
I think
it's probably pretty good. I wouldn't know.
It's actually very good.
It's really good.
You know what I had too is that Pueblo hot sauce is very good. The black garlic one?
You know what? I've had a couple of their hot sauces and I like the flavor, but it's very muted. Like, I like something, especially when I'm thinking heat or hot sauce, I want, like, extra flavor. I just find that it's, like, super delicate.
Speaking of hot sauce, when I was in Alberta, I went to a restaurant and had their, like, hottest of hot.
Mm-hmm.
It was not hot. I hate when that happens.
I agree with you. Like, if you're going to brag about, like...
It better melt like,
my tongue off.
Yeah. Like, I want it to ruin the meal.
I want to not eat it.
No. I want it to ruin the meal and the next day.
I want it to not eat it.
That's what I want.
Exactly.
I want to sign a waiver.
Yeah. That's what I want.
Okay, but maybe that's the thing. If it's that hot, you do have to sign a waiver, and then you know your tongue should be melted off.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, if it's just the hottest... Then
I do like the Fun Time Heat Sauce. It's one of my favorite. Mm-hmm. I use it quite often at home.
Okay, going back to our segment.
How often would you drink Zadibi Schmidt Spatfaganda?
Gregorian Kalender.
That sounded not German. I'm just going to put that out there.
Yeah, Bryce is best.
You went too far.
I went too far east.
Skipped Germany.
I went too far east.
Bryce, how many days a week would you drink this wine?
I think I would drink this at least 5 days.
Mm.
5 days.
Josh?
It could be 7, but I don't know.
I'm going to go 6. I fucking love this wine.
This is a fucking
good
wine.
I'm only going to go 6 because I was going to go 5, but then I thought I could do 5 and then have one day where it's chilled and do 6.
Ooh, chilled.
Yeah.
This is 6 for me. And I drink white wine.
Like this is a fucking great wine.
I love this wine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so stoked about it. 6.
Yeah. It's a great wine.
Cool.
This is the bee's knees of Spatfergunder.
The bee's knees.
The texture.
It's the texture.
Mm.
It's like Austin Powers' suit.
Velour.
Velour. Crushed velvet. Sounds like a rock band.
How is that not a band?
I don't know.
This was fun, guys.
It's good to be back. It feels good to be back. I feel like I haven't done it in a while.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
I feel like the new fall season is going to be great.
I think so, too.
On only on NBC. No.
We're gonna amp it up for sweeps.
Okay. Thank you guys for listening for 44, almost 45 minutes.
Do you think we still have everybody with us?
No, I doubt it. If you are listening, still
here, please somebody comment. Yeah,
Josh really needs a comment.
Even if it's like, please stop making this.
If you comment, Josh will give you a high five.
What else can we do?
Free high five.
Like, I don't know. What could we do for someone who comments? Like a fun. We can really do a giveaway in case it's one of our international listeners.
Right.
What do you think? We can give him a shout out. We'll give him a shout out next podcast.
No, Quinn, I thought we were going to get some wine keys.
Mm. We are, yeah.
Yeah, and we can ship wine keys.
Yeah, we'll ship a wine key. I'll ship a wine key to Denmark.
Yeah, sure. Wine key.
To Denmark?
We have some Danish listeners now.
We have a lot of international listeners.
Love it.
Not a lot. They exist. Okay, we'll see you next year.
Thank you. Next year?
See you next week. Thanks, Water Construction. Thanks, Fun Time Heat Sauce. Catch you later.
I'm kind of a big deal.
That was the Mural Wine Podcast with Josh, Bryce, and Leah. Want to learn more about natural wine? Find us on the internet at muralwine.ca or on any social media platform. Thanks for listening.
Who are these jokers?